Welcome to episode 49 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to the Judgment Eternal Champions miniatures game. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bile on the Discord, and I'm here with my other lovely co-host, David Wonky, Wonky Kong on the Discord. And how are you doing this evening, Wonky?
Not too bad. Looks like we got a jam-packed episode today, though, so might as well get right cracking on into it.
That's right. All right, let's jump right into Hobby Corner. All right, Wonky, have you had any updates on the paint days or anything for your terrain?
There has been zero updates.
Okay.
So it is still a plan of mine to try and get one set of mushroom terrain painted by the time Warfare Weekend occurs.
Nice.
But no concrete plan on that occurring as of yet.
Fair enough. Last we spoke, my hobby was being taken over by the Friends terrain set. I've actually made some good progress on that now to where I'm down to most of the metal base coating.
Okay.
And once I'm done with that, then it's just going to be going back through doing a little bit of dry brushing to it all. And it should be out the door to him. So.
Ooh, that's kind of nice. That gets a big project off your plate.
Yes, that'll get a huge project off my plate. And as soon as that's off my plate, I can then focus on deciding what team I'm taking to Warfare Weekend.
Yeah, that is kind of quickly approaching.
It is. I know. It's like, oh, God. So, yeah. But yeah, so that's exciting that I'm almost done with that. And then I get to move on to my team of 5 and 7 and get into that. Plus, I got to obviously get some monsters done because I'm sure we'll need some.
Yeah, I would assume. I don't know what Creature Caster will be providing monster-wise for Warfare Weekend.
Yep.
Yet. So, yeah, having some extra monsters, especially painted, will be kind of nice.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's not spend a ton of time talking on the Hobby Corner since neither of us have big updates for that. And let's jump right into Judgment News. All right, Wonky, we talked about it briefly in the last episode. Warfare Weekend is coming up.
Yes, so we're still marching towards Warfare Weekend. We got, what, a month and a half?
Yeah, we're a month up. And a half. Holy God. And I'm playing a warband in a month. God.
It is coming up a lot faster than I expected. So, yeah, so Warfare Weekend, we've got the threes event. We currently have 7 signed up between the 2 events that are merging into 1.
Okay.
We've got 8 folks signed up for the fives event. So we will for sure have at least a proper 3-round event for the fives event.
Uh-huh.
And as been stated a couple of times, packet coming soon. And part of the reason why the packet's been delayed is episode 50.
Right. Episode 50.
So episode 50, we are 1 away.
Yes, we are.
And there are some big judgment announcements coming in episode 50. And what other special thing is about episode 50, Fabius?
Well, I mean, we have a couple special guests that show up. Should I spoil it now or should we save it?
I think we can spoil
it. Okay, we can spoil it. All right, so both Jeff Tirith Galea and Andrew Guns Galea show up onto the podcast for episode 50 and join us. And they have some really exciting judgment news for you guys with regards to tournaments, with regards to models that are going to be coming. What else do you got to say about it?
Yeah, so they make, I think it was 4 total announcements, and we have some discussion about them. We also have some just other general gaming discussion with them as well. So episode 50 will be coming shortly after this one. It's a pretty big episode for us. We hit 50.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty big landmark, it feels like, to hit.
Yeah, it really does. Which, not to, you know, be self-congratulating here, but congratulations, Wonky, for making it to 50 with us.
Yeah, congratulations for you, you know, putting up with me for 50 episodes.
I'll be honest with you, brother. It's been a pleasure to do this with you. It's something I look forward to every week, being able to do it. It's been great, you know, being able to talk with Guns and Tirith about this stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously, for those of you who are maybe new to the podcast and don't want to listen all the way to the back and such like that, that's fine. Or maybe you haven't heard of any of the podcast stuff before. In episode 50, we even get into some of the background of Jeff and Andrew, when what inspired them to bring Judgment out. So definitely a good way to get to know the creators of the game.
Yeah, there's some good conversation there. And yeah, I don't want to spoil what's on it too much. But yeah, it was a good episode. I was very excited that we were able to record it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think some of the announcements will be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some good discussion around them as well, about the, you know, Judgment and, you know, kind of the future of the game.
So without getting
too much more into that, I suppose we can move on, because we've got a bit of a packed episode.
Yeah, we do. It kind of surprised me when, you know, how we go through, we put our notes in so we have a vague outline to follow. And I looked down and we both had just a stack of notes. And yeah. I was like, okay. But at the same time, it also makes sense, because obviously last episode we talked about that's Judgment Folks 19. So mm-hmm. now we would, and we're 2 weeks into it. We both have two games to talk about. So it makes sense that we also have a stack of notes.
That is true.
So let's jump right into Enter the Dojo. All right. So, Wonky, do you want to go first? Because I've been talking a little bit more here about what you had going on, or?
Yeah. So I decided to challenge myself for this league. Playing a god that I really don't play a whole lot of.
Okay.
So I decided to play Krognar.
Mm-hmm.
So that is strange in general.
That definitely is not in your normal wheelhouse.
Yeah. And I definitely wanted to try to play Cradle. Which has been, I think, still kind of widely seen as possibly the worst hero. I don't know if that's as universal as it used to be. She did get some decent buffs in the 2.1 patch.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest being that Shadow Mist can carry over from activation to activation. I'm trying to remember if that's the only one that we ended with.
Because
I know that it changed once or twice when we were kind of doing that open beta.
We ended up being back at her original Shadowgate as well.
Okay. Yeah, so really the difference here, so Cradle, for those that aren't very familiar with the hero, as enemy models within two hexes ever take damage, she gains Shadow Mist tokens. She can have a maximum of her level plus 4, and they used to dissipate at the end of her activation, kind of like energy tokens for Love Drug. However, that was kind of deemed to be very limiting in her ability to kind of do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She had to kind of go late in your turn, right? You had to try and make sure she was always in the thick of it, and it just was not the most wieldy thing to do. And yeah, so they changed her so you can hold on to them. And you know, we played that worst Warbane challenge, and mm-hmm. it kind of was like, you know, I could go for some Cradle to give it a try. And I think the big thing with Cradle is I think in Krognar, there's an additional layer there where she can be a Shadow Orb placer,
mm-hmm.
As well as someone that can use Shadow Orbs. So I'm like, I decided I'm going to use Cradle.
Yeah.
So the Warband ended up being Zarin, Lugdrug, Cradle, Yorgoth, Rakir, Piper, and Dawnregar. Dawnregar was kind of there because I wanted a bit of an anchor point mm-hmm. and a model I'm a bit familiar with. Also kind of lets you try and hold a board position a little bit more. I feel like when you're bouncing around with Krognar, the ability to kind of like, this is where I am,
right,
is very helpful. But as we get into a few games, I'm not the biggest fan of him in this slot for a few reasons. But however, that was the initial thought process.
Makes sense. I was going to say real quick, just looking at your warband, right? Out of everything in it, Donnie is the one thing that I was like, that kind of feels a little out of place to me.
Yeah.
But then again, like you said, it makes sense that it's in your warband because he is a familiar model for you.
That helps as well. And the thing, too, is the Don isn't a terrible model if everything else leaves him behind.
Correct.
So
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the few, like, you and I have both seen it happen where someone leaves, like, a Marcus behind. Marcus gets his ass beat.
Yeah, depending on what's on the table. And I think the interesting thing, too, is if a Warband can't overly deal with Doan Rhaegar, he can just kind of
chill,
hang out. And I think with this Krognar build with Cradle and Piper that wants the backstab, I think the Doan Rhaegar has some value there.
Definitely.
So
let's get provides, into it. Yeah.
Yeah, it provides some extra layers of defense too for Yorgoth if you're doing, like, if you bring Lugdrug plus Doan Rhaegar, which I did not do in any of my league games, but I did actually do in a in-person game tonight. And then I kind of had, like, you know, a redirect from Yorgoth onto Doan Rhaegar. And then, you know, I still had the redirect from Lugdrug. So it kind of adds a lot of defense to the Warband.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can kind of play it a bit more, like, not tanky, but, like, up in your face than Krognar tends aggressive. To be. Yeah, and I kind of was playing that way a bit because it's a way I'm familiar with playing, like, from Gruul. And it was also, the map tonight was a single soul pit. So, like, we were kind of moshing around.
Yeah.
The single soul pit. But for my first round, though, I played against Jeff, so Tirith. He was playing Torin. His warband was Bastion, Mazuzi, Abathos, Sky, Thrommel, Ashel, and Rakir. I think he was really trying to play with Ashel. I think because Ashel is not being played a whole lot. This was on the map where it's the two soul pits that are literally one hex apart on the right-hand side of the map, where there's no reason to not be packed around the two soul pits. So I'm like, well, cool. Probably the worst Krognar map. Okay, maybe not the worst Krognar map, but not a great Krognar map to start because it's really compact. Like, the mobility doesn't, there's not value in the mobility necessarily.
Yeah.
Because it's the two central shrines and then, like, the tier four monster that's a mile away and just doesn't do much.
Yeah. And then your two soul pits are literally one hex in between them.
Yeah.
It's not the thing that Krognar really favors, which is that mobility aspect. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So because it was that compact, I actually had to ban Ashel.
Yep.
I think most of the time against this warband, I don't know if I'd actually go after the Ashel ban.
Mm-hmm.
But when everything's going to be that packed in, I can't not
yep.
get rid of Ashel. And then he banned my Zarin. I think the skeletons can provide some value there. He has some high agi stuff where if I get Zarin... First off, on that kind of a map, Zarin being able to soul gaze from safety is pretty strong.
Yep.
You're going to have some gang ups with the skeletons. So he bans Zarin, which is, I think, pretty strong ban. I tend to ban Rakir a lot, I think, when I play into Krognar, depending on the map. But Zarin's usually pretty good as well.
Yep.
He ended up dropping his Bastion.
Yeah.
And then I dropped Doan Rhaegar. I figured with Rakir, Thrommel's not terrible into him. Mazuzi is pretty good into him. It just didn't make sense to take the Doan.
Yeah.
I feel like he just would have been a punching bag that wasn't that... Like, he would have been a punching bag that would not have absorbed enough damage.
Right.
A couple of notes here. The beginning of the game, the first two rounds, we both had really horrendously bad dice. the monster kills and all sorts of stuff were just like, both of us were like, wow, this was just weird by the end of it. And then there was a point too where I could have, like, killed his Sky and I left Sky on, like, one or two hit points.
Mm-hmm.
And then on round three, I used my effigy power to kind of pull stuff in, and then my Lugdrug got two souls in a single activation.
Okay.
Because he killed the Sky and then soul harvested.
Okay.
But then I kind of had stuff that was pretty damaged, so I kind of started pulling things back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had things that were so low.
Right.
And my Shadow Orb placement was freaking horrendous.
Okay.
And I missed putting a Shadow Orb that probably... So my EP... I think I pulled some stuff back that was low. But then the problem was I didn't have a Shadow Orb well placed so I could, like, aggressively keep a few things.
Right.
And it just, like, the EP let me save some stuff but not do a whole lot. And with the being able to pile on one side of the map, like, if you give up board on this one, you just lose.
Yeah.
Maybe they can easily grab souls.
Yep.
Yeah, and, like, the Yorgoth ended up on my one Shadow Orb that I kind of needed, but it kind of happened with pushes and stuff, so it just wasn't great.
Sure.
Yeah, I was able to do some decent healing with Cradle. I think I healed him. Like, my Piper he went to the Shrine and then was able to, like, Mystic Step and Harvest on my side pretty quick, and then he was able to bring some stuff in on Piper. My Cradle was able to do... got a little bit lucky on getting the Shadow Wraith to trigger. I think I'm trying to remember what he was attacking or she was attacking, but was able to heal my Piper from like 4 up to like 7 or 8.
Okay.
Which kind of takes a Piper out of being very killable.
Yeah.
If you don't have like a really good answer for the Agi.
Right.
So Cradle was okay-ish.
Okay.
In that game. Overall, Jeff ended up winning. I kind of got a bit ahead, but then I just couldn't, like, sustain it.
Right.
And coming from Gruul, I'm a bit used to, like, oh, I take some chip damage. Like, regen kind of gets me back up. This Warband doesn't really have that. Right?
Makes
sense. There is some healing. Like, Cradle's supposed to provide that. But one thing I've been kind of noticing in... So I've gotten four total games with Cradle in.
Okay.
With this Warband. Sometimes Cradle just doesn't have enough dice unless you're giving her a lot of setup, and this Warband doesn't really give her the greatest amount of setup, which I'll get to further on. But that was my first round game. Do you want to talk about your Warband in your first round?
Yeah, sure. I ended up getting to play round one playing against Coonerbus.
Okay, what's your Warband?
And I was going to jump to that real quick. So I ended up playing something outside my wheelhouse too, because I figured if you challenged yourself to play something outside your wheelhouse, I should do the same. And so I ended up picking up Gruul. Kind of interesting. We swapped gods here a little bit. And so my Warband ended up being Dhonrogar, Yorgoth, Drelgoth, Lorybella, Gendrys. And then I grabbed Saiyan, even though I know Zyvera is usually a choice that a lot of people make here. But I wanted to experiment more with, like, that chip healing that we had in our worst Warband challenge.
Yeah.
And I was like, if regen is there and she's able to chip heal as well, do I really need to worry about, bigger damages and things like that? And then my last model that I ended up choosing... what ended up being Zim.
Okay.
And I will be honest with you, I submitted this Warband late at night when I was super tired. When I initially thought of the Warband, that was actually supposed to be Arya.
Okay.
And I totally screwed up when I submitted the list.
Yeah.
So obviously, I'm eating that and I'm playing with Zim.
Okay. So a few things. Saiyan's actually interesting. So as someone that would play the Herd, a lot in V1, there was a long time where I actually wouldn't play Zyvera and I played Saiyan instead.
Okay.
And a big part of that was the first off, the AoE healing.
Right.
And
holy
the
shield.
AoE healing is a big deal because it stacks with the regen, right? So you're regening a couple of points back. Saiyan with Aura of Light, especially if she, when she starts leveling, it starts healing for a bit more.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, basically everyone is like absorbing an extra attack a turn. And then the big reason I was taking Saiyan is for Holy Shield.
Right.
So I had a lot of issues playing against Rakir when I first started.
Yep.
And Minotaurs with Agi 3. Were prime targets to get poisoned. And you could Holy Shield to basically kind of prevent that because you can make it prevent the poison.
Yep.
Or does it prevent all of them now? I think you said
it prevents. Now it prevents poison, frost, burn,
fire,
and curse.
Okay. So yeah, it used to, I think you had to pick one if I remember right back in V1. to make them immune to? I don't remember. It's been a long time. But anyways, so I used to actually use Sane quite a bit for that. So I'm kind of interested to see how it ends up going. I think she's also a pretty strong Soul Gazer in general.
So I will say this. So far, she has played really well. I like where she's at in V2 in effectively the herd.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a couple models I switched out because I like some of the demons and other characters better. But that's beside the point, right? But so far, she's played well. My initial thought was with taking her and then having Arya, and this is why I settled on Arya originally, and then I just brain farted when I submitted the list, was because I was going to roll in with two models that could sleep.
Okay.
And it was going to be the ability to then be like, cool, I'm going to go ahead, because Saiyan's going to gain a level. I hate to say it, you know, but it's pretty much she's going to gain a level because there's going to be a point where she gets
one would hope so.
Yeah, where she's going to soul harvest, right?
Yeah.
And then I can roll in and be like, cool, sleep that model. And then Arya could do the same thing of being like, walk up and sleep that model. And I could just delay activations and force activations that people don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, totally brain farted it.
Yeah.
But I'm actually seeing places where, like, Zim could actually still be decent. So I'm not, like, disappointed that I took him.
Yeah.
And after playing several games where I've had, like, or several leagues where I've had to play Zim, I know where he's good. So it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I can still make use of this. And it's not, like, the end of the world.
Yeah. So where Zim's kind of interesting is there was a theory I was gonna try.
Okay.
Where I actually ran like Zim plus Ankara in Gruul with the idea of being right with like the regen and healing, if you frost enough things where people aren't doing enough damage, could the regen just overtake it? And then the idea with Ankara was to use the bell to kind of mimic two hex, you know, like the game ups was kind of the idea. Of, like, is there a way to still make it defensive, like, the two-hex death ball was? I ended up getting rid of Ankara pretty quick after a couple of games, and then I don't remember if I ever even tried it with Zim. But there was that thought process in my head, because, yeah, if you look at an aggressor, right, and you take their grid down by one damage, okay, and then, you know, if they're making multiple attacks, that adds up, and then you've got regen, and it kind of, like, layers.
Yep.
And then switch can be kind of interesting, you know, with things like, okay, if they come in on your, on Zim, you can switch in like your Yorgoth onto him or something.
And, yeah.
You can also do weird switch stuff on the first round of the game to get like a stone form Dawn into like really awkward positions.
Yes.
Like on central shrines or central soul pits, you kind of give up Zim's first turn activation a bit, but you could always walk, switch, walk forward again.
Yep.
And then he's still in position to kind of walk and shoot twice most round twos.
Yep. So, yeah. So I ended up, like I said, I ended up playing against Coonerbus. And he's back on his Tomas horse.
You mean the only horse he's ever rode?
I mean, he has tried a different warband, but it is his main horse that he's rode.
Yeah.
And so... So he ended up with his list being Fazeel, Rakir, Kane, Masuzi, Marcus, and then out of God, he grabbed Abathos and Donnie.
Yeah, I think he's been running Donnie a fair bit in Tomas, I feel like.
He and I spent some time talking about it, and he feels the same way I did, which is I really like Dawn in Tomas because you have so much of that where you can use the monsters and things like that with the effigy power, or not the effigy power, with the warband bonus to keep your models alive. That Donnie with his regen slash if the you redirect. Get a monster low enough, yeah, with the redirect and you get a monster low enough, Donnie can run in and boom, he's a level two and now he gets a a health refresh. You know, it he's just a good solid defender in that list.
Yeah.
And so when we got into it, I ended up banning his Masuzi.
Seems pretty good on that, the double soul pit map right near each other.
And so I guess I should start. He actually banned first.
Okay.
And he banned Saiyan.
Okay.
And so then I banned Masuzi. And okay. the main reason I banned Misuzi was not just because it was the double soul pit map like that, mm-hmm. but it was also because Misuzi was his only true like way to deal with Dawn.
Yeah.
And so I was like, cool, well, we both have a Dawn, so this is going to be the Dawn off.
Yeah, it's Gruul Dawn tends to win that.
Because uh-huh.
if you're packed in, usually Gruul tends to like that a lot more, I think, than Tomas does.
Definitely. And with me having Lori, yeah. I have Elixir, I'm going to heal more.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way that's going to work. And so it was a fun thing for that. He ended up dropping Rakir.
Okay.
And I dropped Zim, which we talked about later. And part of the reason I actually also banned Misuzi is because a lot of people will ban Fazil and Tomas.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I kind of played on the aspect of I think his play with Fazil is worse.
Yeah,
and I definitely kind of banked on that.
Yeah, I think Soulgazers. So Tomas Misuzi is an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Kunrvos tends to buy diamond armor on Misuzi quite a bit.
Yep.
And then if you get that first level, you can up your Agi.
Yep.
So then your Agi 4 res 2 immune to one shred.
Yep.
And I think he's like leech 1 or something.
Yes,
I think.
He is.
So like he is insanely tanky at that point.
Yep.
Like, and if he ever gets to like snipe a monster or snipe a hero, like you can heal for a bunch.
Yep.
Like Zuzi, if you're not aware of that, can be very deceptively tanky.
I was gonna say he's a sleeper in Tomas.
Yeah.
Like I know I've had games in the past with him where I've played him and he's gotten a kill on a model, right?
Yeah.
And I took the level 2 and I went ahead and instead of taking Agi, I took the pain reflector.
Mm-hmm.
Used my second action to pain reflector a monster.
Yep.
Down to basically one health. And then I shot it.
Yeah.
Then chucked it and went, cool, there comes half my health back, basically.
Yeah, the Tomas Warband bonus working on monsters, like, it feels like a really minor thing, but I feel like on the table, it makes such a big difference.
It does. It does, really. And, I mean, when it just worked on heroes, I honestly do believe that it was one of the worst Warband bonuses. Because, like we had talked about, right, it only activated maybe 5 times in a game on average.
Here, fun fact, at least it activates in a game.
Right, that's true. Yeah, we know where
like
you're going
the
with that.
Warband bonus.
All right.
You can go many a game.
And yes.
It will never actually occur.
Trust me, as a guy who's playing Gruul right now, you are 100% correct.
Yep.
But no, it's one of those things that, you know, just adding it to where it activates when monsters are on the field too, mm-hmm. that you kill. That makes it to where now all of a sudden turn 1, it doesn't activate because it doesn't matter unless, you know, something bad happens, which shouldn't.
Yeah.
But turn 3, where you've mm-hmm. started taking damage, you can possibly pull that model who's started taking damage, get them a monster kill, and all of a sudden they're back in the fight.
Yeah, it's a very strong warband bonus now. I feel like with some of the maps having so many monster spawns, you're probably going to start getting some kills in that mid to late game and not having to spend fate on healing, well, then also, you know, generating a level in fate and item buys and stuff it's pretty good on Tomas to really kind of have that extra healing. So,
yep. All right, so we've spent a lot of time doing that. So let's talk about what actually happened in the game a little bit. So turn 1, we both did our moves. We both went and killed our monsters. We actually had a Kanukamara spawn on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went second, so he ended up putting his cane on his shrine.
Okay.
And it was on the that right side where you would always put your cane. You're never going to mm-hmm. put it on the other side, right?
Yeah, on the other side, yep.
And previously to this, I had went ahead and I put Find a Path on Lori, so that way she could keep up with the rest of my warband.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I had done in a practice game is I had actually gone over and I had hand grenaded the Canuck to push it to my opponent's side and force them to have to deal with it.
Oh, okay.
And I looked at that and I was like, well, I could do that. But then Lori's still equidistant and she has more health than Kane does.
Yep.
So he's still coming back at me. So that doesn't help me. And so I ended up quickly plotting it out. And I actually found the perfect spot where, yes, I couldn't take my shrine first turn.
Okay.
But I was able to walk her twice and I hand grenaded Kane.
Okay.
Doing the 3 true damage to him, pushing him 2 hexes outside of the shrine.
Yep.
And then the Knook was able to, in the following communion phase, walk, shoot him twice, did a crit, did a solid, and teleported him.
Oh, jeez.
And then did another solid to him, putting him on 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
And kind of away from everything, too.
Yep. He was on 2, away from everything, by himself.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
It is. And so then his first activation turn 2, he goes with Kane. He swings on the Canuck a couple of times, doesn't get the dice he needs, and can't kill it, but he does get at least the push to push away.
Yeah.
The problem is then Lori was sitting in a perfect spot where she literally could walk into the smoke.
Yep.
Chuck the hand grenade. Do damage to the Canuck and to Kane if I wanted to. And I chose not to because then it sent the Canuck still into his side because I drug it over there.
Okay.
So I just killed Kane and then walked her back out.
Okay.
And then in that turn 2, or in turn 1, he had killed a Vujasha on his side and the soul spawned on my side.
Yeah, and yours. Okay.
So I don't remember who I had harvest it, but I had somebody harvest it, which got me an early lead on souls.
Probably Gendrys?
As well. No.
Gendrys or Donergard. If Lori is doing all that, it had to be Gendrys or Donergard. Jogoth is a 2,
It might have been Lori in a later turn then that harvested it. Probably Lori in a later turn.
Okay.
But yeah, it got the early soul over to me. So then when it popped up in turn 2, it popped on his side.
Yeah.
And of course, he had Dawn on the pit. I had Dawn on the pit.
Okay.
You know, so it was literally just this there's an empty zone of nothing in between but 2 Dawn statues just standing.
Yeah, there. Just hanging out.
So then somewhere in turn 2 or turn 3, I went ahead and effigy powered.
Okay.
To give myself some extra life. He still ended up, because I misplayed where I leaped my Drelgoth to, he actually was able to walk with Fazeel and get a charge into him.
Okay.
Got the decap.
Okay.
And put Drelgoth on like 4.
Ooh.
So it was rough. And then I ended up in the following turn, basically I leaped Drelgoth in, did some damage, and... he actually brought the Fazeel back around to do basically to focus on killing that Drelgoth.
Yeah.
And with that, I was able to then start using my models to pull his Fazeel down into a new Inferno that had spawned.
Okay.
And into my warband. And so then, unfortunately, I didn't get the kill on Fazeel. The Inferno did.
Oh, well, that always kind of hurts a little.
It hurt me a little bit with that, but it actually benefited me massively because Fazeel got killed in the communion phase.
Okay.
So then I got a full turn without Fazeel on the board coming at
which
me.
Which feels pretty good.
Which does like, feel pretty
Fazeel
good.
Fazeel not hanging around even like post effigy power turn or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Like, because the threat obviously of the combat maneuvers feels a little bit less, but yeah, the Fazeel not being around feels pretty good.
Yeah. And so basically at that point I was able to start like using Yorgoth because he got my early level 2, right?
Yeah.
And I started momentuming and pushing people around and I just started using it to pull people into my warband. To where turn 4 there was a Kane that I ended up knocking down with a ground smash. After like he had activated early, soul harvested with Kane.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what else he did, but he did something else. And then I ended up using Yorgoth to smack him, pull him down. And then I ground smashed him, knocking him down. And then it ended up being to where, because he actually got the, what you lovingly nicknamed the applesauce bomb off on me.
Okay.
Which, for everybody, the Abathos bomb that we're talking about here is basically you use Abathos's ability to consume a spirit that has been, or consume a coalescence token that has been left by a model that was killed within 5 hexes of him. He does 1 true damage to each of the models, the enemy models that are within 3 hexes, and curses them all. And so he actually got that off on me to where I had to basically play around with my models to get Kane low enough, but save the fate so I could uncurse Gendrys.
Okay.
Shoot him with a lightning bolt.
Okay.
Killed him, got her to level 2, used the push to push over. She then harvested a soul that was there.
Okay.
And so she immediately went to level 3.
Nice.
Uh-huh. And then the following turn, basically, I used Drelgoth, who had respawned after getting killed, and had come up and killed the Inferno. He got the Staff of Gruul off all this. And then I used him the following turn to basically grab his Marcus and pull his Marcus down into the rest of my team.
Mm-hmm.
For the final, basically, it was for the final setup. I pulled Marcus down in there. I got Marcus really low to the point where I literally hand grenaded him to death with Laurie taking her to level 3.
Yeah, it's always doing damage, like killing something without having to roll dice the last couple of points always feels so good.
It does. And I was polite enough to ask him, because at that point, literally, it was Fazeel respawning and Kane respawned. And I looked at him and I was like, hey, you have Huvu Josh in your backfield. Is there anything you can do in the first activation that you have here to kill that Vujasha to gain a level, right? Because I have game. We both acknowledge that. And he's like, yeah, there's no way I can charge her and get to her and actually do anything to her. So no. And so we just, at that point, called it with, you know, the Lori Bella hand grenade. But he played really well. And since I've been playing against him since he started, I got to say, I'm really impressed that how much his gameplay has improved. But I've, like, he and I have been talking about it, and it's really just those little things that are killing him now. You know how that is as you're playing competitive games and stuff. It's the longer you play, it's those small things that you have to really tweak and tone to become a better player. So, but yeah, that was my round one with Kunnerbuss. So that one came out and came out with me being the winner, which felt really good with a warband that I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So then I'm going to ask, who was your round two?
So it was Kunnerbuss. So yeah, we had a little fun. He gets you and then he gets me. So yeah. Round two was playing on, I'm trying to remember which map it is. I think it's like double, like offset soul pits, monster pits, like mirroring, and then central shrine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of a bit more of a map where I was a little excited to set up some mobility. I banned his Fazeel I just felt like the proper ban here against him. It's Fazeel is Fazeel. I have some kind of squishy targets that he definitely can get on and decap and blow up. So the Fazeel kind of felt like the proper one. I did debate Rakir at one point because he had Mazuzi to set up some poison. And I kind of debated Mazuzi briefly because I had a Dhonrgar, but non-Tauren Mazuzi is less scary, I feel like. At least on their own, because the fact that they don't get the cut for the extra damage that Tauren gets, right? But it does set up poison. However, it's Fazeel, it's Tomas, feels like the play for me here. And then he banned my Zarin, which is pretty good ban against Krognar, especially on a 2 soul pit map. You can send out skeletons to basically cover, you know, if Zarin cover one pit, add the skeleton cover another pit. So he did that, which seemed pretty good. And then he still did have the Bazoozy right at that point because I banned the Fazeel, so I actually dropped my Dhonrgar. I didn't want to be easily poisoned so that his Rakir could just come and toxin me.
What map were we using for round two?
Round two, it's the single shrine in the middle, and then like left-hand side bottom player has a soul pit, and then it's like a right side soul pit for top player, and then it's like monsters directly across. So it's kind of like a big X for the...
The, I wonder if Jeff like, and I played on the wrong map.
Oh. They haven't been really good about saying what map it is. Like,
yeah.
Some of us already had the game set up by the time I hopped on.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't been stating the map when they did, like, the pairings or something, so I just trusted that he picked the proper map.
Yeah, because so. That does not remind me of the map that we played. So that's why I was asking what map it was.
Okay. Yeah, it's Cobblestone Map 2, and that sounds like Cobblestone Map 2 to me.
Yeah, that is Cobblestone Map 2, what you're describing. Okay. I don't think okay. Jeff and I played Cobblestone Map 2.
Well, way to have Jeff cheat.
Right? Well, I mean, he did, I mean, spoiler alert, he tried something with Thrommel that he couldn't do in the first round anyway, but with the setup, so.
That's fine. So, ban the Fazeel, and then so I dropped Dhonrgar, and then he dropped Marcus. His thought process being, I think we talked about a little bit after the game that like Dhonrgar is pretty not easy for me to kill as Krognar usually. However, we'll get into that part a little bit, but but yeah, so you want Dhonrgar instead of Marcus. First turn we kind of just jockeyed for some position around the shrine. I leveled up my Yorgoth because, you know, level 2 Yorgoth. Yeah, so then, okay, so that warbands ended up being, so I ended up having, what was it? So, Lugdrug, Cradle, Yorgoth, Rakir, and Piper. And then his warband was Abathos, Dhonrgar, Kane, Mazoozy, Rakir. Okay. So first turn, I bought Shredder on my Rakir from the effigy.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of walked him up and put an orb out. I leveled up my Yorgoth, because, yeah, it's Yorgoth.
Right.
I tried... So there was a Vajasha up at the start. I forget which one of us had it. And I was kind of thinking of like this a weird play, because I think the soul spawned kind of were like directly across. So like my soul pit, but like his monster pit side. So he had a lot of stuff over there. And I was trying to debate if I could do, because I was going first. I debated if I could do something kind of cheeky where I would like walk Cradle, eat that soul before he could harvest it, and then get to safety with a shadow step.
Right.
But souls don't go near undead. So right. The soul was going to move, you know, one or two hexes further away from me.
Right.
From being able to do that. So that kind of took that off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Early on in turn two, though, I think my first activation, so I had an armor shredded Rakir, and he had a stone form Dawn within charge range, so I decided I would put pressure on the Dhonrgar, because he had Dhonrgar and Abathos kind of near the shrine. Everything else was like kind of a bit behind, like,
right.
You know, because it dealt with the monster.
Right.
And my thought process being, you only need a solid with Rakir to poison with a Shredder.
Mm-hmm.
I had the fate outside of Rakir and Toxin. I don't really need a whole lot of fate.
Right.
Like Piper kind of wants it to enhance a bit. I know the next soul's kind of coming my side to try and harvest. We're going to, you know, jockey around the shrine a bit.
Right.
But I was like, okay, if I put pressure on the Dawn, it could be problematic for him. And it actually turns out, after we discussed a lot, this ended up like putting him on a, like, it kind of wrecked his plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, I charged the Dawn. I actually crit him with poison.
Nice.
And so I, you know, did 2 points of damage. I toxined for, it was like 8 or 9 or something. So like it put him down to like 7 or so, and the Don has to be a little careful at that point.
Yeah.
Because I literally charged, and then I shadow stepped back to an orb I had placed near the right hand soul pit.
Right.
Because I was actually not terrible with shadow orbs this game, which had taken a little bit. But it was frustrating because Coonerbus was eating my freaking shadow orbs. I had a lot of very aggressive shadow orbs to do stuff, and he was being very good in making sure to get rid of them. That mm-hmm. would have allowed a lot more stuff.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I that was one of the things we had talked about. Because he was like, well, how would you fight this? I was like, kill the shadow orbs.
Yeah, it's a thing that I think gets overlooked a bit because it does feel bad. You have to walk adjacent to it. You have to spend an action. But I was being pretty aggressive with him. I think some of them, like, it just, I put him adjacent to stuff. And he was just like, okay, well, my Don's going to spend an action to eat it. But at the same time, like, it's not spending me actions. And he's spending, you know, 1 to 2 actions. So I don't hate that.
No.
Like, he kind of has to because of, all right, a Rakir just pops up, or a Cradle pops up, or, you know, you effigy power and it becomes a problem. Because he actually, I think, forced me to wait on my effigy power a bit because I think I had a really aggressive one that I was going to come in and feel pretty good about, and then he ate that Shadow Orb. And I was like, okay, well.
And you're like, well, there goes that plan.
Yeah. Cradle this game didn't do a whole lot. One turn, I think I healed for like 5 or 6 with her, but I didn't get a push I needed to make her safe from his Rakir, and his Rakir just blew me the fuck up. Like, charged in, like, I think cut with poison, toxin for like a 10, and then just killed me. I was like, okay, Cradle. Like, awesome.
So I'm going to be honest with you. That is not the first time I've seen him do that with Rakir.
Yeah. I mean, it's Rakir. He has... Well, the ability to do that.
Yeah, so. No. Rakir definitely has the ability to do that. But I'm not talking about Rakir. I'm talking about that is not the first time I've seen Coonerbus do that. Like, I really think that Rakir is, like, one of his models. Remember how we've talked in the past about people have models that just work for them and some that don't? I honestly think Rakir is one of those models that, for him... realistically, just most of the time he works for him.
Yeah.
And it's dumb how often I've seen him pull that combo off where he just runs in, it's a crit with poison, he toxins for 11 or 10, and then it's like, peace! It's like, oh, you bastard!
So kill my Cradle there, which felt kind of bad. So Cradle didn't do much, and this was probably... one of the games that kind of made me start thinking about Cradle in the way that, like, she just doesn't feel reliable to get her healing off because it's so dependent on her getting 1S for combat maneuvers. And then part of the problem with that, too, then, is if she is doing, like, a 1S Shadow Wraith, it's good that she doesn't have to do damage to trigger it.
Right.
But that also means she can't be pushing.
Mm-hmm.
To like push things in to get more dice. She starts off at melee 6.
I will say it's one of the things I've kind of learned with her myself, especially with the changes to dual wield, right?
Yeah.
Is now it almost feels like most of the time you don't want to use Shadow Wraith on the on her first attack.
Well, no, you can't, because if you have to push, you have to do it then now.
Right, that's what I mean. And then, you basically almost have to wait now for Shadow Wraith to be on that second attack.
Yeah, so it just feels weird. I was trying to think of ways to make Cradle feel a little bit better after this game, because like in the game with Jeff, like she got pretty good dice, probably a bit above average, and she felt not bad.
Right.
But in this one, like, she healed for 5 in the turn. But I'm pretty sure that's because she had 4 Shadow Mists before the activation started. So she just needed 1S to heal a bunch, right? So,
right.
So I don't know. It just felt... She feels kind of dicey in a position in your warband where I don't know if being dicey is good.
Right.
Like Rakir, Zeal, Zhonya, models that are like blowing up models.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel as bad. Like, okay, like, if I get a little bit above average, like, this model is just dead.
Yeah.
But like, she's trying to be a support that heals. Her damage output being 1-2-4 at melee 6 without any kind of setup is not great damage output, especially with the amount of res that's in the game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of res 1 out there, you know, a bunch of tanks that are res 2, etc. So then you have to buy her an armor shredder, but then you're spending fate in actions on her.
Yep.
When like an armor shredder could be better used on something else. Rakir in this case, I like it on Yorgoth a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you get a Shadow Orb, he goes to melee 8, and then you just like smack tanks. Like, oh, you're gonna put 2 tanky models in front? I'm just gonna punch the shit out of them with armor shredder.
Yep.
With the 2 hacks, I've done that quite a bit. So it just feels kind of weird. So I don't know. I was kind of thinking of some random ways to maybe help Cradle. Maybe she doesn't need it. Maybe I need to have her a bit more setup. But then it's like, okay, do I just try and do a bunch more setup to make Cradle work, or do I just put another support in that doesn't require that kind of setup?
Right.
That's kind of a bit where I'm at with Cradle. And then just kind of aside that, and then basically with the way the game ended, we were kind of talking about a bit after, he did kind of an interesting play where my Lugdrug had 2 souls on him.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of grabbing his 4th soul with Mazuzi, who had 2 on him,
mm-hmm.
so he had 2 on Mazuzi, 1 on the effigy from the Cradle kill.
Okay, so 3 souls.
3 souls. He had 1 he could have gone with Mazuzi,
okay.
putting up to 4,
mm-hmm.
but he decided to demon gate towards my Lugdrug, Pain Reflector, to put Lugdrug on 7 or whatever.
Right.
And then I think he swung on Lugdrug to try and get the combat maneuver, the like does D3.
Right, the curse.
Thing or something. Yeah. And he thought he really needed to do this because if he just went to 4, the next soul was gonna spawn on my side and he thought I could pick up a kill.
Right.
Because his Dolnragar was still hovering pretty low. Because of the redirects and stuff, he was still hanging around, I don't know, like 6 or 7 or something.
Sure.
So it wouldn't have been out of the question for me to get another Rakir, poison and toxin, and kill the Don.
Right.
So he felt like he had to come in and like, okay, I'm going to kill your Lugdrug and reset the game. However, that allowed me to essentially end up killing the Mazuzi. I think with that, I had a chance to kill Mazuzi, or what I could have done is actually charged Yorgoth into his effigy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I could most likely kill the Mazuzi. It actually took a lot more effort than I thought, the edgy for res 2 being a thing, ignoring armor shredder, ignoring the 1 armor shred. So right. It definitely became a scenario where it actually took me, I think, my whole turn to kill Mazuzi after he did that.
Makes sense.
I had to get Lugdrug to safety first because it was on 2 souls. So I got him out. I effigy recall. I think I banked souls with him or something because my Lugdrug was pretty low. And then the rest of my turn was spent killing Mazuzi. But then he lost 2 souls that he had, right? So
yep.
it he had the 1 banked on his effigy, but he ended up losing that. And then I think Piper got the kill there, and then eventually I think got the harvest when the soul came around. So I felt a lot better about my Shadow Orbs this game. I definitely missed buying Umbral Sphere on Piper at one point, because I think I had an activation where like Piper killed a Vajasha and then soul harvested or something.
Okay.
Like, Piper was just great. Which the more I play Piper, the more I feel is normally the case. He always has stuff to do.
Yeah, I love Piper.
He feels really, really good unless they have like good answers for the agility, and then he feels really, really bad.
Yeah.
Like if they have easy to land knockdown or frost or anything like that, it's like, oh, okay, Piper just went from being good to like a big liability.
Yep.
Because his hit point pool is so low.
Yep.
But yeah, Piper was really good in this game. I think he had 2 soul harvest. He killed the Mazuzi that was being a problem. Killed the Vajasha, I think, as well at one point, because I think it spawned and then it went into my Cradle or something. And then I used that to then trigger backstab. I think I did the shadow step place into Vajasha and then just punched her 3 times, which I think I enhanced up to melee 7, and then with a friend, you get 3 dice, and you just need to, what, glance twice, solid once?
Yeah, something like that.
Dice attacks, like, it's not terrible to do. So, yeah, Piper's been pretty good. At least in this game, was fantastic. But yeah, so how did your round 2 go?
Give me one sec here, sorry. I just got messaged from somebody going, hey, do you know what map we're playing this week? And I'm like, I believe we're on round or map 2. So my round 2 actually ended up against Jeff, your round 1.
Yeah.
So kind of an interesting turn of events that we swapped opponents here. So getting into that one, he went first, banned my Lorabella. I banned his Masuzi, and I honestly still feel like that was the right decision after I, after playing the game.
Okay.
Because I honestly felt where I had Gendra still, I could probably just play around the forest and utilize that to basically break Ashel.
Yeah, the big thing there is this map doesn't give you a whole lot of fate because it's Central Shrine. So you got to be a little bit careful that you have enough fate to do it.
Correct.
But yeah, I've done that a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then you got to hope that they can't set up a Ashel monster kill because I think Ashel can get immune to stealth at level 2.
And so that it's, like I said, it's funny because realizing we're on map 2, I'm pretty sure Jeff and I played the wrong map. For this, and so that actually definitely changes some things because I know we didn't have a central soul shrine or central shrine on ours. We had a central soul pit, so I think we played map 1 on accident. But it was still a great game, and Jeff honestly schooled the hell out of me a little bit, but that happened because I didn't stick to my plan that I had. So we'll get into that with this. He chose to drop Abathos out of his list, which I thought was actually a fairly smart play with everything else I had in my list. I think Abathos was probably the right choice for him to drop.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have, because did he drop first? Because he'd have Zim plus Yorgoth knockdown.
Yeah.
You have some auto damage from Bella and stuff. Yeah, you can leap into him. Yeah, that seems that seems like a pretty good drop.
Yeah, and so I looked at his list, and I still ended up dropping Zim because I wanted to keep playing Drelgoth with Gruul now and trying out like staff on him and things like that. So I ended up dropping Zim, who is still one that I'm like, I don't feel bad if I don't take him. I don't feel bad if I do.
Yeah.
Basically our game, we ended up setting up and we both went after our monsters. And I got Yorgoth to level 2. And he actually, because like I said, because we played the wrong map, we ended up with some monsters in some weird places at that point. He actually was trying to set up for a Thrommel turn 1. Level 2, and because we played that wrong map, he was actually unable to, and he tried to do a walk then charge with Thrommel and realized he couldn't.
Oh, yep, definitely can't do that.
And I appreciate Jeff for getting up and playing when he did, because it was early morning for him. And stuff, but so it ended up being that Sky ended up having to take 2 hits from a Gloom.
Two dice hits. With
two dice hits. The first one I solided him. The second one I ended up missing entirely, so it really didn't matter.
Yeah, Sky is really good at doing some of that of like, all right, I'll just take a 2 dice attack. You can't crit me.
Yep.
And then, oh, I'll regen in the communion phase. Like, he's really good to set up monster kills by giving some extra dice to people.
Yep. And so literally my turn 1, I spent setting it up to where I walked. I didn't even bother with going after the shrine that was on my side. Like I said, wrong map. That would change things. But I ended up setting it up to where basically I dropped a forest. So I had smoke, 2 hexes of open area, and then a forest right next to the soul pit that was in the middle that we were playing with.
Oh, are you playing map 7?
No, we played map 1.
Map 1, okay.
Yeah. And so basically I set it up to where Saiyan could hide in the forest.
Yeah, and then Soul Harvest.
And just sit there and Soul Harvest. And yeah. It was going to work out for me if I had stuck to the plan, but after I got the initial Soul, I decided to get a little aggressive, and I sent Drogoth in with Staff of Gruul to go after frickin' Ashel, and
he did
some work, but then basically it was feeding him to the entire team that was down there, because he had Sky, basically he had Sky, Bastion, and Rakir, who could... he had Rakir, who basically was up on a Shadow Orb and did some initial charge work and stuff. It was a weird game with the way that it worked out, but because I decided to charge with Drogoth, I was like, okay, if I charge with Drogoth, maybe I can pull him away from the Soul Pit. And then I just walked away from that plan of stay on the Soul Pit, let Drogoth be a distraction, and instead started charging Yorgoth in, then I charged Gendrys in,
okay,
and then I charged Dawn in, and it ended up being a scrum in his backfield, which overall didn't pan out for me as a whole, but I actually ended up getting a kill on Sky, which put a soul on Yorgoth, and then I was able to, off of a 4-dice charge hit, I think, into Sky, or no, it was 4-dice because I had a Shadow Orb next to me, and I had 2 assists.
Okay.
I got the crit.
All right.
To where then I ended up momentuming into Ashel.
Okay.
And I crit Ashel,
ooh,
who had just activated and basically blown Gendrys all to holy hell on effigy turn.
Yeah, Ashel definitely does that part.
Well, and it was my effigy power turn as well, so like even with the extra health, he still blew her to holy hell.
Yeah,
which makes sense because he was getting all the benefits of Bastion and all that.
Yeah.
But so then I put it took the Ashel from 9 health to 4, and then I swung into that. That's where then I swung into Sky. Killed him, but I didn't get the crit, and then I spent my last action to blow up the Shadow Orb that was next to me.
Okay.
To hit Ashel.
Okay.
For 3 true damage, leaving Ashel at 1. Yeah, and so like I had some pretty good setup, but then obviously he charged in, blew up Yorgoth, and the only thing I had left was Dawn down there, and Dawn had to back up into trying to get the like the Soul Pit covered and make it so I couldn't just frickin' let him have the Soul Harvest.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the fate I needed to be able to do the Stone Grasp. Because then he basically was able to end the game because the Avujasha spawned in my backfield and went after my Saiyan, who had the Soul, to where I couldn't take her to the Soul Pit to go after the soul. So I ended up having to walk her away back to my effigy, taking a parting blow, and then basically depositing it to the effigy or banking it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drogoth flubbed his rolls to be able to kill her with a hunter's knife.
Oh.
Which, I mean, it's him into a Avujasha without any assistance. It's kind of a...
Yeah, I guess.
It's not a great odds, but I couldn't let her just walk up and slap Saiyan again.
Yeah.
And it was a respawn Drogoth. Well, then she slapped him and then slapped him again in the communion phase and left him at 1.
Oh.
So literally Jeff was able to like, and he, I'll give Jeff points because I understand why he spent so much time analyzing it. But I was like, seriously, Jeff, walk Bastion away from Dawn, charge Drogoth. You don't even need a solid. You need a glance.
Yeah.
You need a glance. Just go do it, and you have 4 fate to reroll this. If you fail this on 4 dice with a reroll, it's not, you know, and now granted, his Bastion did have, I think, 2 souls on him.
Yeah, so there's the, like, if so I fail
it's
this...
it's a reset, but I'm like, Jeff, you're reset. Not going to fail this on when you need one...
Yeah, I've
one glance.
You know, when it comes to closing a game out like that, but it does feel the, like, okay, if... I bet if Bastion wasn't holding two souls, he would have done it.
Oh, yeah.
Way fast. But is that, like, yeah, okay, what are my odds of doing this?
Correct.
Because if I don't get it...
Well, and like, the thing
you basically
is,
reset the game, right? Versus winning. So
well, and the thing was that there was literally nobody else on his team that could do anything with, like, about it.
Yeah.
So it was
had
either
to be
you
Bastion.
Have to go with Bastion to do this.
Yeah.
Or I get the chance to actually activate, heal him up, and
yeah,
I'm going
I think,
to try and punch that Vajrasha.
I can definitely see. Like, where there might be a little bit of...
Oh,
like,
yeah, no. I like, need to... like I said, I give him points for taking the time to really consider it, right?
Yeah.
But I was looking at this going, Jeff, you have nobody else that can do this. It's got to be Bastion that does it, or he goes out of kill range for you.
Yeah.
And then you have to go after the soul that Don is standing next to, and the rest of my team is respawning, and they're going to walk up onto that soul.
Yeah.
And you don't have a choice at that point. And so it was just one of those things that it was like at the end of the game, I was like, ah, well, this is what you need to do. Just go do it. And he did. He was able to get the glance on the first one, which, once again, four dice, getting a glance, more than likely. So, but it was a good game. Overall, I had a lot of fun. I always have a lot of fun when playing Jeff or Andrew, even though they 90% of the time school the hell out of me. And I gotta say, it made me so happy to watch him use Bastion's suggestion on Yorgoth to be able to punch my freaking Drelgoth, and watched him use the pushes to push Yorgoth into a worse position. I was like, that is why I wanted this to be a thing that he should be able to use.
Yeah.
And so it was great just seeing, like, that is my justification. See, this is what I was talking about.
Yeah. Yes, Justin is a fun ability to use.
It is.
I think it gets underused, I guess.
It
a
does.
Bit. But yeah, it's definitely a fun one.
It is. So, you know, basically, I definitely, some of my most simple thoughts with this whole setup with between the two games, right, is obviously make sure I know what list I'm submitting when I submit it the next time.
Yeah, that's usually not a bad idea.
That's game plan one. And then I need to be able to focus a little bit better at times and really stick to my game plan and just realize when it's kind of like when playing chess, right?
Mm-hmm.
You realize when you're throwing away a piece and you're like, okay, I'm throwing this piece away and I realize it's a sacrifice, but let it be. Don't keep following it in. And that's where I screwed up. Cause like I said, the Vujasha spawning in my backfield, had my team still been around where they would have been going after that soul.
Yeah.
That Vujasha wouldn't have been a problem. My entire team would have just beat her down and it wouldn't have been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But because I followed that frickin' that play into of Drelgoth into everybody, it just really tore my warband apart.
Yeah.
And so it was fun. I will say I also got to hear Jeff go, well, I'm not putting another Shadow Orb down now after I blew the one up on him.
Yeah.
Like, I learned my lesson once from that. It's like, oh, did you?
Yeah, the eating Shadow Orbs is nice, especially because, like, it sucks to have to do it, right? Like, you know, in my game with Kunderbuss, he was doing it.
Uh-huh.
At least for Yorgoth, he's like, all right, I'm getting some value out of doing it.
I'm going to do a solid to you.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I definitely will say after playing a couple games with Gruul, I do like how Gruul feels with their hero selection still, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... I definitely am not sure if the way the maps are set up right now, even looking at map two, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if the warband bonus feels like it makes a whole lot of difference unless you're willing to spend that fate on Gendris every time.
Yeah, so... The Warband bonus has been a big complaint of mine with Gruul for a while. I love the heroes. Like, I pretty much love every champion. I haven't played a lot of Arya. She's probably one I would need to try out a bit more.
Yeah.
She might be one that maybe next league or something I'll go back to Gruul and play some Arya in there. But the Warband bonus, it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's flavorful. But then it, like, you don't ever get to use it.
Yeah. And it's literally you have to use Gendryss's forest to be able to use it. And
yeah.
That just, it feels bad.
So, and I wonder if part of that is from, so her old avatar bonus, she used to put down a permanent forest.
Right.
Which was very, very strong. Like, yes, it was. Insanely strong. Because then you could do it, like, she could do another forest, and you had 8 hexes of forest wherever you wanted them. One of them was always there.
Right.
And what was cool then is you could put that forest near something where, like, you could get value, and it was in her force or treacherous for the opponent too. I should keep
yes
but with 2 hex, so I'm wondering, so 2 hex was kind of limiting, I think, in a bit of design space, because they, part of the problem they had with 2 hex and the forest was that you can't shoot a 2 hex model if they're in stealth,
right?
I guess that was a huge problem. I don't know if it... I benefited from it, so obviously I'm going to be slightly biased. So I just, I'll state that because...
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's such a big thing now, because where 2 hex has changed to where it's...
Correct.
Right? Yep. Only affecting on your turn?
Yes. So now that 2 hex... And I know that that was one of the problems that they stated with it. I'm still not super convinced that it was that big of a deal, I guess, for ranged heroes, but because, like, are you really going to bring your Elendir that close and do a bunch of stuff anyway? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know. It seems a little dangerous. But anyways, but now without that, if you look at the current map selection, there is not any rough or treacherous or forest outside of one or two maps. I think one of the maps, there's like a shrine adjacent to like a hex of forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one triple soul pit map, there is a soul pit on like that lower left forest.
Right.
Outside of that, there is basically almost no terrain that would feel that you're going to be in near a point of interest unless you are going to be out of position.
Yep.
And now, on the flip side of that, there are times where, like, they even change one of the maps. I don't think it was just because of Gruul.
No.
But it was, I think, one of the factors where it was the central soul pit that was in the middle of the cloud.
Yep.
And then you could be on treacherous, which you would get the Gruul benefit from.
Yep.
Right? And then you're adjacent to a soul pit. So, like, I think we need to find a balance of that somewhere.
Yep.
Because I think it's a cool bonus. Like,
yeah, I honestly think just with the current map selection, like you said, there's the terrain is truly, I don't want to say not beneficial for Gruul. It's, I think it's literally that it's, while trying to put out a balanced map, they've, in a way, inadvertently screwed Gruul's Warband bonus on accident.
Yeah, so in part two is a lot of the maps are just, a lot of the points of interest tend to be very open.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they didn't want terrain to be like a massive factor. And this is purely speculation.
Right.
In the maps that they made and tested, they didn't want terrain to be such a massive factor where, like, right, if you don't have Pathfinder, you just lose. Or, maybe not quite that bad, but something like that, because the like base terrain setup, which is where the woods don't jut in from the left hand side.
Right.
That terrain, like, everything in the middle is wide open.
Yep.
Right? It's the basically like the middle, I'll say like roughly 5-ish hexes.
Yeah.
Are essentially wide open on both sides, from the right-hand side to most of the left-hand side, and there's like that weird forest that's there on the left. but it only comes out like two or three hexes, and you never play in that forest.
Yep.
Ever. Nothing is there.
Yep.
So and that's kind of been my big thing with Gruul, but yeah.
And that's why I'm hoping that with, like, I'm hoping that with, say, play through now through, you know, January to February, I'm hoping it's something else that they look at for the start of the tournament season next year.
Yep.
And they really kind of take a look at that and either look at Gruul's Warband bonus and shift it slightly to something, or that they shift the terrain before before tournament play starts. Because otherwise, I mean, like I said, you're going to be sitting there as Gruul and you're going to have Gendrys and you're going to have to spend a fate every turn.
Or you just play without a Warband
bonus. Or you just play without
literally
it.
Literally what I do.
Well, I mean, that's what we did with Tomas for so long too, so.
Yeah, I mean, Tomas, they're at least, like, killing a hero. there's a big difference between I need to be in this hex to get value, and I need to kill a model. Because killing a model is a thing you're definitely going to attempt to do. Like,
yeah,
you know, at least a couple of times a game, right?
My other thing I wanted to bring up about playing these games is, like, my first game against Kunarbus, right? I did not get the Staff of Gruul immediately.
Yep.
I actually waited till Draugoth got killed, respawned, and then bought it. And used it to charge the Inferno, kill him, and then used it with him on the rebound, basically, to pull that Marcus, right? So it, like, was it impactful? In the back half of the game, it definitely had more impact because it let me get places with Draugoth that I wouldn't have normally. But I didn't feel, like, hampered without it in the first part of the game. And then my game against Jeff, I actually took it early on with Draugoth because Yorgoth, when he killed the Vujasha, was not able to get next to her. Or not Vujasha. Oh, I killed the monster early. He wasn't able to get next to her early. So Draugoth is the one who had to take the fate and buy. And so I was like, well, let's just grab Staff of Gruul, right? And I honestly don't feel like it was actually beneficial in that game at all.
What conditions were you trying to use with it, out of curiosity?
I grabbed Frost. Because
Frost is normally my default.
Frost is what I grab because I don't have anybody to combo fire with or poison with, and he had Sky, and so I was like, if I can get an early Frost on Sky, that will butter his biscuits to the point where Yorgoth and somebody else can just go in and screw him up.
Yeah, Frost is almost always my default because I think standing alone at, like, in a vacuum, it feels like the strongest condition. Now obviously other conditions are stronger and different, you know, if you have an Astario, okay, then fire goes up the
You have a Rakir, then poison goes up. I mean, if you have a Rakir, why aren't you just playing Krognar or Tomas anyway?
So because I was actually going to ask you about Staff of Gruul, because it's been a bit interesting, I guess, in the Gruul games I've played, because a lot of how my Gruul games start now that Yorgoth is out is I will level Yorgoth.
Yep.
And then I will either buy something on him or I don't, depending on if I feel like I need the fate. And then I usually buy staff on Draugoth or Thorgar.
And that makes sense to me. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. So I've had one game where it helped in the back half of the game. And then one game where it was like,
Well, and in the back half of that game, was the extra hex of melee reach actually impactful, or is it, like, a nice to have? Because that's
it was realistically a nice to have because I had the hexes to get to Marcus.
Yep.
Where it did get a little bit more impactful was when I charged that first hit with Marcus. I was able to push him to where then it was he was engaging, like, Dawn and Yorgoth.
Yeah.
And so then I could hit him, and I did some damage to him, and then I hit him again and pushed him back down further into my team, and then I hit him again, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like it was extremely impactful, but it, I mean, the first hit, it was like, okay, I could have got there and hit him anyway and pushed him. Yeah. I just would have had to get a little more. Basically, what I would have done with Drogoth instead is pushed him down, pushed Drogoth up, taken the dual wield, and then leaped back into a position that was down.
Yeah.
So it's not like I was like, oh, yeah, this is a super important thing.
Yeah, part of the thing with it, too, is it feels a little rough with, like, how, like, there's not, like, a big grouping of heroes where it feels great on.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that's, like, I'm trying to think, like, I don't know if that's where, like, if it's that big of a problem, right? Because if you think about other gods,
right,
like Umbral's Sphere, Umbral's Sphere's got value on pretty much anyone that doesn't do Shadow Orbs. That's Krognar. Yep. Restoration Potion's kind of the same. There's usually a few you want to have it because you want them to spend the action to heal versus
right.
the model you're healing. I think...
like Bruellen's Second Wind, though, right?
Yeah, Second Wind feels like it. You tend to put it on usually Thorgar or Zhonya because they can go up to higher melee because it takes a slot of the Vorpal Blade.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's one where you kind of feel like it's a lot, mostly those two.
Yep.
And then, yeah, Torn, I think sometimes, and I think anyone with Torn's probably okay.
Yeah, I mean,
with it, depending, that one's a lot more situation depending on health of people. And
it is, but I mean, like realistically, let's be real here with Torn, it was most of the time it's Thrommel takes it or Bastion takes it.
Yeah, it's one of those two because, like, Thrommel's going to be up front and getting punched on. And, you know, if they dive on Bastion, you want to punish them with the...
Exactly.
Quality Stone if they don't finish them, so...
Whereas, like, Tomas, you're taking the Diamond Armor on, like, Fazeel, or if you want to play a more upfront Masuzi.
Yeah, I mean, Diamond Armor, I feel like if you're playing Marcus, can go on basically anyone because you can get them to res too.
Correct. If you're playing Marcus, yes.
Yeah.
But
which I think I miss
my Diamond Armor Barney.
Yeah, I do too. So I don't know. It just feels... I don't know. And like I said, I love the champion selection in Gruul.
Yeah.
And like, it just feels weird that, like, the Warband bonus doesn't get used often. And the Sacred Artifact used to be an auto-buy all of the time.
Yeah.
Is now just...
Yeah.
It feels like it's just there. Like, it's there. If the condition has value, it's good. And I did play some games where I brought an Astariel. So it wasn't far off the Warband you're playing right now, but I brought Astariel instead of Zim.
Right.
And then I felt like the staff gained a lot of value because, right, like, okay, I've got another person to do fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I can play, like, the kind of stuff I want to play, but then I'm bringing Astariel to get the fire.
Right.
And that didn't feel bad.
Yep.
But then it's like, I have to be triggering it with this item. Or, I mean, Astariel's not bad on her own.
Yep.
But then she's still going to kind of... Then the problem becomes a bitch. Like, she wants the Ring of Power. Because, like, Gruul is really Fate Light in general.
Yep.
Like, besides the first turn. It's like, I want all of these items out there. Like, so you're spending Fate, you know, getting the item, the monster kill, putting an item on Yorgoth.
Yep.
Or, in that case, you would, kill with, like, a Thorgar, put the staff on Thorgar, put fire on the staff, and then, buy, like, a Ring of Power on Astariel or something. Yeah. So,
I mean, yeah. I'm almost wondering, because, like, I pulled up the Gruul list of champions, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just almost wondering now with, like, the way that staff functions, I'm wondering how it would do on, say, a Grail. How it could feel on him, right? Piper, we've talked about in the past Piper's having
pretty
it.
Pretty solid. I've used it on Piper,
right?
With the one Warband I was playing, and like that felt good because with the place, when there's a scrum, usually with the place in a 2-hex melee, you're able to get 3 attacks
right.
in that like mid game pretty commonly. So
right.
Piper is definitely one I've come around on with the staff, and it's not bad on Drogoth,
right?
But you got to get him someone else up there so he's getting some extra dice, or correct.
It feels a little clunky. Yeah. The other one I was wondering about is because we haven't seen them now since obviously test phase, beta, whatever you want to call it. Bale and Sarna, I'm wondering how they'll feel with it, honestly. Because, you know, Bale did have that ability to go to melee 8 when he was
When Sarna's close enough.
Yeah, when Sarna's close enough.
The only concern I would have with that is... Okay, so again, this is what the level 2 was.
Right.
We don't have anything there, but he used to be able to steal an item.
Right.
So I feel like if you're going to get an item on him, you're going to want to steal stuff from your opponent.
Yep.
And I think usually that's going to be stuff like their Vorpal Blade.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just kind of wondering how it would do on him.
Yeah, I mean, it could be fine. And they've got pretty good mobility, or they used to, being able to like teleport to souls or whatever. So,
yep.
So there's definitely some value there, but it's just, I don't know. I feel like usually Bale and Sarna, you want to steal an item from your opponent, you know, they're going to want.
Right.
And usually that's an offensive item. I feel like
no disagreement there. It's just one of those things, like looking at the heroes that are left in there.
Yeah.
The only other one that I honestly am looking at and going, okay, that could be fun, is Ramona.
Yeah, Ramona might not be bad with it, but she's going to suffer from the... Was she melee 6 or 7?
She was melee 6.
Okay, because then it's a dice thing a bit, too.
Well, it's still a dice thing, right? But she always had that other thing about where Bastion is, like... And keep in mind, guys, when we're talking about this, we're talking about what we remember from when she was released.
Yeah, she was on Test Realm for a bit.
She was in Test Realm for a bit. You know, she had that ability that where Bastion gives an extra dice to any friendly that's within 2, mm-hmm. she would give an extra dice against an enemy that was within 2. It's just one of those things that I'm wondering about her. But then she naturally also has Frostbite.
Yeah, but the thing with her though is like, but 2 hex, like that would have been really good when old 2 hex existed.
It was really good when old 2 hex existed.
Yeah, but now that with the new stuff, I don't know. I don't feel like she gets as much from it.
Yeah, I don't know if she does either. But it's like I'm literally looking at just models who actually, you know, who would actually really benefit from that, or who could.
Yep.
Sharn.
Maybe.
I mean, she doesn't have a combat maneuver for her hammer to begin with.
She does not.
So that gives you at least an option to light somebody on fire, put them on frost, do whatever. So
the only downside is
she's 6.
But not even that. I'll give you the true downside. So as a defender, and with the kind of abilities that Sharn has, going off what was in V1... I think she was in Test Realm for a bit.
She was.
Like, you're not, like, making a lot of attacks. And, yeah, you're melee 6. Because it was, like, I used to put the staff on the Don a lot.
Oh, I
back
know.
Back when old 2-hex was. Because, okay, he might not be making a lot of attacks, but he's adding dice from distance, and he's taking away dice.
Now that you don't have that, that changes things.
So, like, okay, you can put the staff on the Don... You know, a pretty typical Don activation is he charges something, he stone forms.
Yep.
Or, you know, or he's there, but you can push him around if you don't stone form. There's times when you don't stone form, but like a pretty common Don activation is he charges, he does a little bit of damage, pushes to where he needs to be, or he lands where he needs to be on the charge, and then he stone forms. So, like, you're not making enough attacks.
Right.
And then the other thing with it, too, is... Like, if you want to ever use Stone Grasp, you have to be adjacent.
Yep.
So then why am I not...
I totally get what you're saying. I'm not thinking about it so much just for the 2-hex, right? Because the 2-hex... you and I have both talked about it. 2-hex as a whole is dead.
It's lost a lot of power.
Yeah, I'm looking at it from just the combat maneuver side and going, okay, who doesn't really have a bunch of these that could do it?
Yeah.
The other one that I just saw that... Test Realm wise, that could be funny. Zaphon.
Yeah, I mean, he had 2 really strong combat maneuvers on the shots already. So
no disagreeing there, but it makes me giggle with the idea of like his combat maneuver of knock somebody down and poison them, right?
Yeah, it used to be you could poison on one combat maneuver and you could knock down on a different one.
So my funny thing that I'm thinking about is, what if you use him to, like, knock somebody down, then light them on fire?
Yeah, the problem with that is, I don't know why you'd never not just take Heartseeker on Zaphod.
I mean,
you need to get as many dice as possible because you need to make sure that the two action attack has value. So, yeah, I mean, yes, you could put it on Zaphod. Would you ever actually put it on Zaphod?
I'm the giggle player who does really weird things and watches as people go, why the hell would you do that?
Yeah. I mean, that I don't know why you'd ever possibly do that. See,
as you can hear my co-host right now, why would you do that?
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, it's there just something that I was like, oh, okay, that could be funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see, you know, as the game grows a bit and we get more players, because obviously I'm a bit biased when it comes to Gruul stuff.
Yep.
But as other people, and you've kind of hit, I feel like some of the same... You've come to a few of the same conclusions I've kind of had from my games with Gruul, and you haven't even played them that often, of like, yeah, the staff just feels like it's there.
Yep.
And yeah, so I don't know. I'm very curious to see as newer players get the ability to really start playing with Gruul. And kind of see where it goes, because I know they had a very high win rate before, and 2X was definitely very strong. Mm-hmm. But now it would be interesting to see how it changes once the game grows a bit and we have more people playing.
Right.
The Gruul. So
makes sense. All right. Well, obviously, guys, we've spent a lot of time covering our round one, round two games from That's Judgment, folks. We both had a lot to talk about with these, how our games are going, how our heroes are faring, what we're feeling is good, what we're feeling is bad. Wonky, any final thoughts for the night?
I mean, I'm digging Cradle.
Okay.
She still feels a bit swingy and a bit dicey, but I don't know. I've played four games with her now, and she just felt middle of the road. I don't hate that I've taken her, besides I think one of the games she literally just didn't do anything. But the other three games, she didn't feel miserable.
Okay.
So I guess that's a bonus.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's definitely a better thought than where you were with her initially.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't really give her a whole lot of support either. So I think that's probably part of it. So
sure.
That's where I think swapping Don for Marcus in my current Krognar would probably... be a lot better. Set her up with knockdown, be able to give her one res to make her res two, and then she's very tanky and can kind of stay in the mix of things a bit more.
Definitely. All right. Well, like I said, I don't really have much for my, you know, end thoughts either, other than just need to keep my head in the game and stick to my plans a little bit better and, you know, keep playing Gruul as I see it, and hopefully things will work out and get me feeling a little bit better. So with that, though, guys, we're going to call this a wrap to the end of the episode. One final last announcement to it is, remember, there is an episode 50 that is going to be coming soon after this one. Please, 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 if you want to learn more about the Galea brothers and what drove them to help bring Judgment about, take a listen to it. If you want to get to the exciting news drops that they have in there, go check it out. Go listen to the episode. We spent a good solid amount of time with them talking about it, and those news drops are exciting. As always, though, if there are future topics that you would like us to discuss, please feel free to post them in the podcast and streams channel, tagging myself or Wonky Kong, or you can PM them to us via Discord. But in the meantime, get out there, play your games of That's Judgment, folks. If you're not in the leagues, jump in them and join. They're a ton of fun. And Wonky, let's portal on out of here.